Time to get on the phone line and welcome in Chad Finn of the Boston Globe and Boston.com. Hello there, Chad.
Hey, Rich, how are you doing today?
I'm doing all right. It's Monday and all that kind of thing. I'm old enough that I'm signed up to get that first vaccination later in the week. Finally, being a geezer pays off.
All right, young fella. That's good to hear. My dad got it this week and feels like a pretty big weight off. So step one of two, anyway.
Yeah, absolutely. All right, solve a mystery for us, because I wasn't the only one a little frustrated yesterday. Why weren't the Red Sox on Nesson?
Yeah, they're broadcasting 11 spring games out of the, I think it's 31. A big part of it is they don't have the crew down there that they usually have, the staff down there, just because of the circumstances. If you notice in the world, if you notice today, Remy and O'Brien are doing the game from the Watertown studio still. They're not down there. And so they sent down fewer people, and because that was a road game, they wouldn't have had a setup there. They didn't have their own truck or anything like that to go to the road game. So they decided to do the first home open, the first home game at JetBlue Park instead. And I think 9 of the 11 games that they are doing are from JetBlue, and the other two will be the broadcast, will be the feed from the home team. So you'll hear Dave O'Brien, Remy, or Eck, or Lenny DiNardo, whoever it happens to be, calling the game, but it'll be off the feed provided from them, so the visiting team. So they, just because it was a road game, they didn't have the usual amount of people down there. They waited a game.
All right, that makes sense, and I feel their pain. I've got to try and broadcast a main football game Saturday from a remote studio, so I'm sure that's going to be a lot of fun.
Yeah, and not in the fall either. That's going to throw you off. Right? I mean, we see how tough it is. I really resisted criticizing broadcasters for making mistakes in games, because you watch the Celtics. Mike Gorman's as good as it gets and has been at this for a long time, and feels like every game he and Scal miss a foul call or think one call was something and it was another, and it's because they're doing it from a studio, they're doing it from NBC Sports Boston studio rather than from courtside where the official's coming over and telling the scores table exactly what's going on. So it's a lot tougher to get everything right, and I sympathize with you guys that have to do this with that added dimension of difficulty.
We've talked a little bit about what's going on down at EEI over the weekend. Tangway and Hart, is that a preview of what may become a full-time gig for them? It seems like a pretty good pairing.
Yeah, Gary's going to be on there in some way or another, probably more prominently over the next couple of, I don't know what the time frame is, but probably over the next couple of months, if not weeks. I think you'll hear him on weekdays, and I don't know if the role is quite defined yet, but they're definitely going to be making some changes there, and Gary will be a major shock if Gary's not one of the people with a more prominent role. I think we'll hear Andy Thresh, who I know old Yankee Conference football player in his own right back in the day. And a longtime broadcast partner of Gary's. They did do high school football games down here. I think you'll hear him in middays on WEI probably in a few weeks. But they haven't made any formal changes yet. There's just a lot of rumor and a lot of buzz from pretty good sources.
Irv Cross passed away over the weekend, and but he is so different to me than the analysts that we see today. The world has changed. There's a lot more self-promotion and flash, and Irv was none of those things. He was just a low-key guy, but very knowledgeable, and I thought a big part of those CBS broadcasts back in the 1980s.
Yeah, I mean, that NFL Today team, Musburger, Irv Cross, Jimmy the Greek, Snyder, and Phil George really was the forebearer of what we get from studio teams nowadays. There was really nothing like it until they came along and set the agenda for the day in the NFL, and became must-watch TV, setting up fans for what was to come, and they even did a little bit of gambling and human interest stories. Phyllis George to handle that aspect of it, and Irv was the football guy. You know, Musburger was the ringleader. And it was really the precursor to the studio show that we kind of can't really think about a game without thinking of those nowadays. So he was a really important figure, and it was at a time, too, when there weren't a lot of minorities on television in those roles. And they had Irv, and they had Phyllis George as a female broadcaster. Kind of progressive for its time, and he was a really widely respected guy. Brian Curtis, who covers media for The Ringer, found a great item yesterday that they wanted him to dress with, like, the open collared shirt and gold chains and all that stuff. And he said, "I'm not going to take the job if I can't wear a suit." And so they tried to pigeonhole him into some image, but he wasn't having it, and he ended up becoming one of the most well-liked and respected football analysts of that age or any other age.
Yeah, saw this. We're talking with Chad Finn of the Boston Globe. Saw this just a few minutes ago on social media. A possible big investment into the Fenway Sports Group. What might that mean for the Red Sox? Can they actually afford guys now?
I hope it means raises for all Boston Globe media writers. John Henry owns us too, and we're working without a contract right now. But
ooh,
it's. I mean, he's. I think I saw the value of his riches, or whatever you want to call it, is up to $7 billion now. So he seems to be doing okay, and his businesses seem to be doing pretty well. And the Red Sox seem to have handled last season's challenges, to put it mildly, of having no fans in the ballpark in a 60-game season and all that fairly well. So. It does seem like it's going to bring a real influx of cash to Fenway Sports Group and their other investments, along with the Red Sox, Liverpool Soccer, Fenway Racing, all of those things. But really, they shouldn't have excuses for having a limited payroll now. I understand that they felt the need to reset under the luxury tax after last season, and that does make sense. The Yankees did that too a couple of years ago. Just from a competitive standpoint, it makes sense to do that because the penalties get steeper and steeper. But there are going to be no excuses if they try to trim payroll, and they're not in a situation where the luxury tax becomes a concern because of the penalties, and they decide they're going to have a much smaller payroll anyway. That stuff's not going to fly, whether or not they have this financial investment or. Where they stand right now. The Red Sox are the Red Sox. They make a lot of money. Their owner has a lot of money, and they should always be paying competitive prices to the best players.
I asked you this a couple of weeks ago, so I'm going back to the well again. Is it still too soon to panic about the Celtics?
Glad I didn't talk to you 2 games ago. that might have been a different answer. It's not. It really isn't. Let me know when Marcus Smart and Kemba Walker play a 45th possession again,
right?
Because they've been on the court for 44 possessions this year, which is just telling of how many different things they've had to deal with. Kemba coming back from the knee injury, Marcus getting hurt, Tatum dealing with the after effects of COVID, Jaylen Brown's knees barking, and they just have had no consistency with being able to get their best players out there. And then when you're already pretty thick because guys are hurt. Your first-round pick last year, Romeo Langford, hasn't played. That stuff all just sort of mounts when guys are being asked to play in roles that maybe they're not quite ready for. I think we've seen that with Aaron Nesmith a little bit. We've seen high expectations on Peyton Pritchard because of the way he played at the beginning of the year that probably aren't fair, even though he's handled them really well. So getting everybody back and healthy, getting this break at the All-Star break is really going to be helpful for this team. But to see them win the last 2 games and kind of snap out of this a little bit should be pretty encouraging.
Hey, you were part of a wonderful celebration of the 75th birthday of one Bob Ryan. What is it about Bob Ryan that has impressed you most? Because you've worked with him. He's a colleague. He's a friend. I'm sure was a mentor as well. What is it about him that stands out to you?
Yeah, as you know from having him on the show and anybody who's ever interacted with him, his greatest attribute as a writer is probably also what makes him just such an endearing personality. And it's that the voice you hear on TV or on the radio being incredibly passionate about sports completely lines up with the voice he has as a writer. And that's rare. It's very rare that people can write in an engaging way that sounds like they're talking directly to you. That's what you want as a writer. You want your readers to think you're speaking specifically to them. That comes natural to Bob, I think. It's just how he is. And the other thing is, everybody talked about this on the podcast I was fortunate enough to be part of. He's just good to everybody. Treats everybody nicely. Mm-hmm. There's ego there for sure, because he's an incredibly successful sports columnist and famous and all that, but he'll help anybody out, and he doesn't have to be asked. He goes out of his way to treat people the right way, and he's done that for me. I was fortunate enough, my desk in our old building was next to his, so my entire life was like a Bob Ryan podcast whenever I was in the office, which is just phenomenal. So he's as good a guy as it seems like he is, and maybe even a little bit better than that.
Absolutely. Chad Finn, good to talk with you as always, my friend. Appreciate you juggling your time slot today. We'll catch up with you again in a couple of weeks.
Yeah, good talking to you, Rich. Go Black Bears.
All right. Thanks, Chad. Chad Finn of the Globe on Downtown.